Hi, everybody, and welcome to the brand new Central Maine Sports Auto Racing Podcast, calling it Loose Wheels. With me, I'm your host, Travis Barrett. I'm the auto racing writer at the Kennebec Journal and the Morning Sentinel. And so we're trying to take a different look here at auto racing every week. We know there's a ton of interest out there. People love it. People are reading it. And what better way to get acquainted with the sport than to kind of bring you some of the people, especially in the local racing scene here in Maine. So I invite you, first of all, to check out centralmaine.com/sports. Click on everything there. Check out our Varsity Maine coverage of all of our high school stuff in the area. But like I said, I think that the purpose of Loose Wheels here is to really take a look every week at racing in Maine, at racing in Central Maine. So we're going to look at, you know, the local tracks, certainly Wiscasset Speedway, Oxford Plains Speedway, Beechridge Motor Speedway, some of the touring series that kind of hit this area, from the Pro All-Star Series Super Late Models to the American Canadian Tour Late Models. And we'll keep tabs on some of the biggest races of the season all summer long. Certainly the crown jewel here in Maine is the Oxford 250, which comes up at the end of August. But before we get to that, you know, we've got a big one coming up already this weekend. I mean, it's not even the end of May. It's Memorial Day weekend. And the Coastal 200 at Wiscasset Speedway is already on the schedule. Every year, it's an early race. It has a ton of local feel. It's a true, kind of a pillar of local short track racing events here in Central Maine. And so that's this weekend. So on this week's show, to kind of kick off Loose Wheels, we're going to catch up with three of the last four winners of the Coastal 200, including Chris Thorne, who's a four-time late model champion at Wiscasset Speedway, Josh St. Clair, whose grandfather, Dave St. Clair, owned Wiscasset Speedway forever, reopened it in the early 1990s and brought that thing back, basically from the dead at the time. And we'll talk to last year's winner, Andrew McLaughlin, who makes a more than three-hour drive every week to the track from his home in Harrington. But he really likes racing at Wiscasset Speedway. We will catch up with all of them here on this week's show. And we're also going to debut a segment that I haven't even told anybody about yet. I'm kind of excited. We're going to call it TB's Press Box. And each week we're going to talk about whatever it is that's kind of on my mind, kind of a burning topic. It'll be sort of an editorial on the fly for everybody. So that's Loose Wheels. So I think we should kind of just get right into it here. So we caught up with some of the late model drivers 2 weeks ago at Wiscasset Speedway, as you may know. They race on an every other week schedule. They have Group 1 and they have Group 2, and they go every other week. We caught up with some Group 2 drivers 2 weeks ago. That features the late models, the Strictly Streets, the Outlaw Minis. I think a really good place to start, if we're talking about the Coastal 200, is with 2016 Coastal 200 winner Chris Thorne. Chris is from Sydney. He does not get excited about much, but I think we're all in agreement that when he won that Coastal 200, we were all surprised to see him jump up on the door of that car and wave that checkered flag. So I guess without further ado, here's Chris. How hard is it to get a read on your race car going into a race like that?
You pretty much have to treat it as a standalone event as far as setting the car, because even last year I thought I was going to be good, and I was terrible. The year before, I wasn't really that great the first couple races, and then the Coastal, the car was awesome.
Yeah.
And honestly, we didn't really change that much. It's just, I think a lot of it's the weather, tires. Yeah. You're on a whole different set of tires for the Coastal. Everything's new. So.
Will you do anything different this year, given the experience of the last couple of years?
Last year was just kind of a fluke thing. Actually, these right here. These things malfunctioned last year. That's what the problem is. It's kind of hard to go around in circles with half the air you need to.
Really? Are you sure about that? I don't know. I've seen you drive. You probably could. You've said before, I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago, you kind of like the early season, late season characteristics of the track?
Yeah, generally. My car goes better when it's cooler,
yeah.
When the weather's cooler. Just the track seems to have more grip.
Yeah.
I always struggle in the summer when it's hot.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's me or just the car.
Which
it's
is...
It's got to be the car.
Yeah, it's got to be the car. Well, so that's got to be, because Memorial Day Sunday can be 85 and sunny. I mean, it can be.
You never know. Could be 50 and cold.
I feel like the year you won, it wasn't the best weather.
No, it was like...
Cool.
It was cloudy, and actually, towards the end of the race, it was kind of foggy.
Yeah.
And But the car, I mean, that's really when my car goes the best. I would assume most people are saying when the track's cool.
Right. So before you won that race, it was the one thing you really wanted to win here.
Yeah.
Does it mean the same to you now?
Oh, yeah. I still want to win it just as bad.
Why?
Wow. Because it's still the biggest race. I mean, for a late model around here, it's still our biggest race.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Plus, it's $5,000 to win this year.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I'd like to have that, too. Thanks to Chris for doing that. You can probably hear it in his voice. Those of you that know him well, he was a little under the weather, not from his race car. But he finished second that night in the late model feature. Had a really good car, got bottled up in traffic. A lot of guys did, and Chris kind of had to be patient. He finally got free last 10 laps or so. He really made a charge. So that wasn't what had him feeling down, but he was fighting a cold. Rest assured, we passed the hand sanitizer around, made sure we didn't spread that stuff. So thanks to Chris for coming on the podcast. But the winner that night was also last year's winner of the Coastal 200, Andrew Harrington. Andrew McLaughlin, who's from Harrington. Andrew had some interesting thoughts on kind of what makes the Coastal 200 such a challenge for weekly racers. So here's Andrew talking about what he thinks the key to winning the Coastal 200 is. So when you show up for the 200, does anything translate to a warm, sunny day on a Sunday afternoon?
Well, I think getting the car comfortable goes a long ways. I try to, this time of year, I kind of throw the stopwatch in the dump and just get the car feeling good.
Yeah.
I was feeling really good in that heat race, and Chris just went by me like I was on jack stands. So I'm a little bit worried, but it'll work itself out, and the car is comfortable, so I just try to work to make the car feel comfortable no matter what condition, and then based on what we learn over the years on experience, we adjust to whatever we need to do on Sunday if it is warmer. But definitely the track being hotter will make it more greasy, and you'll see cars slow down, but not. There'll be cars that aren't handling as good.
Yeah.
Then there'll be cars that are handling good but slower than they were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So best case scenario, the car handles good, but it may be a little slower, which is okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything went pretty well for you last year in that race.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you learned a couple of things. Like, is there anything you would do differently this time around?
Well, I think last year was kind of... The only thing that we struggled at last year was the pit stop.
Mm.
We went in the pits in the lead and came out.
Yeah.
Tenth in line. So, we only had two... We only had one gun to change two tires.
Right.
Now this year we got two.
Right.
So I'm hoping we come out of the pits a little, you know, but we got to get there first. You know, it's, you got to survive the race and then, you know, put yourself in a position to win it.
How hard is it for weekly guys running 40 laps every week to manage 200 laps and get through the chaos early and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I can't speak for the rest of the guys, but for me, I like it better because I can be more patient. Mm. I can save my stuff, whereas on a 40 lap race there's no time to save your stuff. I mean, if you've got a chance to go on the outside, you gotta go.
Yeah.
And on a 200 lap race I may spend more time riding around behind a guy before I pass him, so I don't use my stuff up when I do pass him.
Well, I don't think it's any surprise that guys like you and Chris have done well in that race because you're both kind of the same way, you know.
Right.
Like,
I'm not gonna... Probably got a lot of the same answers out of him.
About half as many.
You just have to be calm and, you know, just try to, how do I say it, you get all this information during the day and you just try to, with what you know, translate it into being there at the end of that day. And, you know, it's biggest race of the year for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is for Chris and other guys too. So it's early in the year for a big race, but I like it. It's always fun. We have a cookout up here and it's great. You usually have Monday off, so
you probably need it.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you if winning it meant as much as you thought it would, and
absolutely.
A year later.
Even a year later I'm still, you know, you saying me winning it still kinda gives me a chill, you know, like it's always a race that my father raced for years, and he always, his big goal was to win like a 100 lap race or whatever.
Yep.
It's always my goal to win a big race, and that was, you know, I kind of search for more goals now because I've won that, you know, and my only goal right now is to win it again.
Right.
So, and they've never had a back-to-back winner of that race.
Right.
So I told Chris last year that next year that was going to change.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't think so.
Yeah, he didn't think so. That's a shock.
I'm pretty sure Andrew did say that to Chris. I'm also pretty sure that Chris wasn't having any of it. They get along really well. Actually, it's funny. I sort of alluded to it in the interview, but they're very similar. Their driving styles are very similar. They are not ruffle feathers kind of guys. And I think when you talk about guys who can win extra distance races, like a 200-lap race, guys who can compete for championships at the weekly level, I think that's sort of what separates them. They're pretty level-headed. They're not going to rough ride somebody to finish fifth, knowing that the 2 points they might gain that week are going to come back. They'll lose those points tenfold, you know, over the course of a season, 5 seasons, a 10-year career. When you know, you make enemies on the racetrack, they're going to get you back eventually. I think Chris and Andrew really do a good job of not burning bridges when you don't really need to. One more guest this week is Josh St. Clair, who was a teenager when I first started covering him at Wiscasset Speedway years ago. And he's really kind of matured into a different kind of driver, which I think is fun to watch. You know, he's 29 years old now. He's been doing it for a while. He kind of knows what it takes to win. He knows what he wants in his race car. But he also knows that you're not going to win a race, whether it's a 40-lap weekly feature. You're not going to win it in the first 5 laps, and you're certainly not going to win a race like the Coastal 200. He won the race back in 2014, a huge win for him. It was significant because, of course, it was, you know, a track that his grandfather, Dave St. Clair, Boss Hogg, owned for a long time. And Boss Hogg has raced in a lot of divisions all over the state of Maine. In Maine racing circles, you know who Dave St. Clair is, and I think it was really kind of a nice bookend to have Josh win that race. Still kind of working out his car a little bit here over the first couple weeks of the season, but he's got a lot of laps. He's really familiar with the track. He's probably tested more than any of us know. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's in the mix. And here's kind of what he said about his kind of evolution as a driver and what it means to all these guys to win the Coastal 200.
In terms of the first couple of races of the year, it's cold. This one's at night. Yeah. And then usually you come to a Sunday afternoon at the end of May and the weather's nice.
Yeah.
Does it throw a real challenge in getting these cars ready to win that race?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit, but I have more of a challenge. Just going to kind of go good, whether the weather's good or not.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. So, I guess it does. You know, hot and greasy is always slick. You know, cold's fast. So.
Do you approach that race as sort of a race unto itself, or will you take what you learn in the first couple weeks here into that?
Well, I guess you get the car going as best you can the first few weeks, but that race is a different breed, I guess. It's long. You got to be there at the end. At the beginning, doesn't. I mean, lap lead of money, but you know, the end's where it's at. So, slow and steady, I guess.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I like long races.
Yep.
I've had good luck at them, so.
How old are you now?
Just turned 29.
So, 10 years ago, would you have liked it as much?
I don't know.
10 years ago, your driving style was a little more hammer to the floor.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah, probably for sure. But, yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. It's a good time, you know.
Yeah.
Give me something to look forward to.
Is it still the biggest race of the year for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. We're just sticking to the every other week year, and that's what it is. Family and time. Do other things. You know?
Yeah. Do you, I mean, when you won it, did, especially your family's history at this track, I mean, what do you remember about it? What kind of stands out to you?
Well, I remember that I wasn't the fastest car, that's for sure. And a couple of them guys that were up front took each other out,
yeah.
Presented the opportunity, you know, so tried to take advantage of it. And we did, so. In the following year, I had another opportunity, and I kind of messed with Nick, who's a good friend, and we both got taken out of it. We were first and second, so. I don't know, maybe he'll come back around again and get a chance, but yeah, it was pretty cool winning it. You know, my grandfather started it, so pretty cool deal.
So there you have it. If you think Josh St. Clair can win the Coastal 200, you won't be alone. If you think he's got some work to do on his race car, it sounds, in listening to him talk, like you might not be alone there either. But thanks to Chris and Andrew and Josh St. Clair all for coming on the show this week and kind of sharing their thoughts on what is the biggest race of the year for them, which kind of leads me to this week's TB's Press Box. I love the Coastal 200. I always have, even back when it was the Coastal 150. I really like a race. We have a lot of signature racing events in Maine and in Northern New England. Of course, we have the Oxford 250. We have what is now a 200-lap Pro All-Star Series race at Beech Ridge. We have You know, the ACT cars have come in over the years. We have a ton of touring divisions. We have a lot of extra distance races at tracks everywhere. You know, there's the Firecracker 50 at Beech Ridge, which is a local race for those guys. But I think ultimately, for me, I like races like this that carry a big purse, $5,000 to win this year, where the focus is really on your weekly drivers. We may see a Dave Farrington, you know, come in. And Dave is a guy that started out his racing career at Wiscasset. A few years ago, we saw American-Canadian Tour drivers, you know, Wayne Helliwell Jr. and Travis Stearns came in and ran the race. But largely, when you get to that, you know, 23, 25, 28-car field for the Coastal 200 every year, two dozen of those drivers are local guys who race at Wiscasset Speedway every week, every other week, you know, a few times during the season at the very least. So I think it's always important for a track to connect with its own racers and its own fans by really highlighting the best of what they have to offer every week. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, they had 23 late models for a weekly race on a cold, windy night at Wiscasset Speedway. And I think when you, as track ownership, in this case, Richard and Vanessa Jordan, reward the people who support them every week by putting up a $5,000 purse, by raising money for lap leader bonuses in a race like this, I think it's great. I think it's great for the local racing community. I think when you hear Chris talk about it, when you hear Andrew talk about it, when you hear Josh talk about it, it's a race that matters. It's a race that they won that means something to them and to their careers. These are not guys that are going to go race the NASCAR Truck Series. These are not guys that, in all three of those cases, are going to go run the Pro All-Star Series. It's just, it's not in their budget. It's not in their, it's not in their time frame. You know, they've got families. They've got things going on. They've got work commitments. This race is their race. It's not even the end of May. It's the biggest race on the calendar for the late models at Wiscasset Speedway. And I think that's why it's such a great event. And I think that's why, hopefully the weather forecast is wrong and the showers will stay away. I think you're going to have a big crowd there. You usually do. It costs $5 to get in. You can't beat it. So for me, if you want to see what local short track racing is all about, a race like the Coastal 200, to me, sums up what local weekly racing should be all about. So that's TB's Press Box. I don't know if it was what you expected. Certainly, you're probably asking for your money back after that, but I can live with that. We can talk. Find me at the track, and we'll work it out. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Loose Wheels. Again, I'm Travis Barrett, the auto racing writer at the Kennebec Journal and the Morning Sentinel. CentralMaine.com/sports. Check us out all year. Find the stuff on Facebook. Find it on Twitter. Share it. Read it. Tell your friends about it. We're covering local racing every week, so it's important that you respond to it, right? I mean, that's what we're doing it for. So anyway, this week, it's Memorial Day weekend, always a busy week of motorsports in the state. Oxford Plains and Beech Ridge Motor Speedway both have their regular weekly racing programs on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Check one of those out. The Pro All-Star Series, they're at Thunder Road for the Memorial Day Classic and 150-lap event. Kind of a quirky high bank quarter mile over there in Vermont. The racing is always great there, and it certainly is with the passage of late models. And it was Wiscasset Speedway. We talked about the Coastal 200 Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They also have monster truck shows there this weekend in the build-up to the Coastal 200, Friday night at 7 and Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. So you might want to check that out, too. I know Oxford Plains Speedway also has a Motor Mayhem scheduled for Monday afternoon, so if you can't get your motorsports fix in Maine this weekend, I don't know when you're ever going to get it. But again, I'm Travis. Thanks for listening to Loose Wheels, centralmaine.com/sports. You can find me on Twitter @tbarrettgwc, and hopefully we'll see you at the racetrack this weekend. Thanks, everybody.